Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACOTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is Saturday evening, 6:30 p.m., May 23rd, 2015, and I welcome everyone to the show tonight. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and especially I'd like to give a warm welcome to Sri Kadavji, who's the leader of the teaching of ACOTA. Sri Kadavji is the Mahaji, the 973rd living Sarosha master in a long line of unbroken masters, in an unbroken line of masters. I reversed that, came out the wrong way, so I apologize for that. Sri Kadavji, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie, and how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, thanks very much. And Sri Kadavji, this evening, and as I haven't mentioned yet, but you normally in the beginning of the show I do mention that we will talk about the basic fundamentals of the teaching, and Sri Kadavji will also be adding additional aspects of esoteric aspects of the teaching. Sri Kadavji, for most people who have never listened to this show before and are wondering what this is all about, perhaps you could just give a little overview to begin with about ACOTA, maybe how ACOTA got started, how long it's been around, and what's the purpose of the teaching. Would that be okay?
Yes, it's fine. Historical aspects are based on the fact that teaching just goes non-public, but it always exists, but it's always with the living Sarosha master who carries what is known as the rod of power, and that's the energy or the power of being the first representative of the supreme deity, which is considered God or in that vernacular. And having said that, the teaching itself is only public when that master brings it such for the ready souls or the souls that are seeking and are at that time willing to be taught by the teacher. So it's sort of a thing where sometimes the teaching is non-public because it's persecuted in reference to the information. And mainly the problem is that the what is known as the calendar engine, the negative overlord of the lower worlds, and the lower worlds are the first four planes of existence, the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes. And this calendar engine, this negative overlord, is in control of that. So what he does is he uses people being the highest apex for spiritual progress, he uses them unconsciously to keep the high teaching non-public sometimes. However, we've been public for the past 26 years, and therefore it's an opportunity to teach openly the information and the aspects of ACOTA, which are the things we talk about each week here on the show are the basic fundamentals, which are that man is soul and his essence, the light and sound of spirit that we call Sarosha, S-R-A-O-S-H-A. And people shouldn't get thrown by just a few higher Sanskrit terms we use. We use just a few of them that are able to be learned after a period of time, and there's no really rush for members to memorize things or anything in its nature, because after some practice on the path and the daily practice that we mention is the important one, is what is known as a contemplation exercise that looks like meditation. That's why sometimes we call it meditation-like, but we really don't want to use that term too much, meditation, because it has an Eastern connotation to it, like an Eastern religion. So we don't really use religious terms because ACOTA is not a religion, nor metaphysical teaching, occult science, or New Age teaching of any kind. And people say, where does it come from? Like he had mentioned earlier, I said, well, jokingly, I say it comes from the north, comes from the top of the head, where you travel outside the body in what is known as the Haji, spiritual or soul travel, the movement of the inner self to go into these higher realms that I talked about, the first four lower planes. And then the higher planes are the plane above the fourth plane, the fifth dimension and sixth dimension on up into eternity. It doesn't end. The dimensions don't end. But we teach 10 planes in terms of Sarosha Mastery, which is the third goal is after God-realization and self-realization. We teach those are the three major goals. And the planes that we talk about are the first 10 planes, but they don't stop there. They don't stop with the 10 planes. And ironically, the supreme deity that we call Akshar, A-K-S-H-A-R, resides on the 12th plane. So, but we do talk about, we show a graphics chart of the first 10 planes in our introductory book. In the back, there's an appendix, shows a 10-plane system. All right, and that means that in those three goals I was talking about, they are shown the 5th, 8th, and 10th plane that people will experience on the path. And therefore, the whole idea, the long and the short of the question in terms of the history of Akasha, is that sometimes it's not public, but Apper said, we've been public for the last 26 years, actually working on the 27th year now. And that means that at that time it's an opportunity for the ready souls, that's the soul that will accept and step upon the path as a member, and then they learn about the basic principles of the teaching. And the contemplation exercise, and maybe you'd like to talk a little bit about that, Leslie, the contemplation that we recommend to you on a daily basis. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. We recommend this contemplation exercise to be done on a daily basis. And the reason that we recommend it is it's because it's our connection to facilitate our spiritual unfoldment. So it's something that we highly recommend to be done every day, and it takes about 30 minutes to do it. And it's normally good to do it at approximately the same time every day, because the action of the 30 minutes covers a 24-hour time span. So that's why we want to make sure that we're typically doing it at about the same time every day. So when we do the contemplation, what happens is it looks like a person's in meditation, because it's a very similar stance. You can be sitting with your legs crossed in tailor fashion, or you can have your feet flat on the floor. The most important thing is to make sure you're in a comfortable position, which you can hold for 30 minutes in a still fashion, not to be moving around. And during that time, what we're doing is putting our attention on what's called the Tizratil, or people also call it the third eye, but it's that spot just above the eye, the bridge of the nose, just above, between the eyebrows. So we put our attention there gently, not forcing anything, but gently putting our attention there. And at the same time, in the beginning, we're taking two or three deep breaths to relax. After we take the deep breaths, then what we're doing is chanting. Now, for those people who are members of Akita, they will have their own inner word or mantra that they're given from their initiations or at initiation time, but they or those people who are not in Akita can use the word hu as well. And hu is a very high vibrational word. It actually is the unspoken word of the 10th plane, which is called the Anami Lok. And that's the plane where an individual achieve spiritual mastery. So the vibrations of Hugh, the positive vibrations are so strong that it will dispel any kind of negativity that one's experiencing. So it's very important to at least chant a Hugh for a few minutes in the beginning. You can continue as long as you feel comfortable with it. And just to give you an idea, it just sounds like it's spelled H-U. And so we can do that for a few minutes or longer as we wish. And that puts our attention on a higher level because, as I said, that hue comes from the 10th plane, the plane of spiritual mastery. And so during the time of contemplation, there are a lot of different experiences that we can have. As soon as we close our eyes, we're automatically in the Sahaji state. But we can have very vivid Sahaji experiences where we're traveling out of the body, where we can be attending a class on one of the inner planes, a satsang class, where we're attending class with one of the spiritual masters and discussing aspects of the teaching and spiritual unfoldment. We can see the light, which is one of the aspects of spirit. You can see it as light. You can hear it as sound. So you might see a bright yellow light, a white light, and that's the one aspect of Sri Osho, what we call spirit. You might also hear a sound. Now, you might hear a sound from one of the planes, or you might hear a high-pitched electrical sound, and that's excellent when you do that because it's tuning you into, you're being tuned into that very high vibration, and that helps facilitate your spiritual unfoldment. So listen to the sound, and it's very normal, and it's very good because it's uplifting. It's very uplifting, and I think it makes you feel very good when you do it. At least that's always been my experience with it, and I think it's been the experience of others who've been doing the spiritual exercises as well. So recommend to do this 30 minutes a day, and it's the longer you do it, the more spiritual strength or stamina you build up for yourself so that you become really impervious to any negativity that might be thrown in your direction. So it's a very good thing to do. Sri Kadavji, I know I've taken up a lot of time. I apologize for that. Did you want to add anything or go into something else?
Well, I think that the motivation for the daily contemplation, which is very important, is the idea of when we talk about the simple definition of the ancient science of Sahaji, Akatabina, is that we want to practice the contemplation so we can learn how to travel in Sahaji back to the fifth plane, the plane of our essence, and where we hear that high electrical pitch of the sound current is what we call it. And by hearing that sound current, then we're dealing with the essence of ourselves in liberation. So that's the major key point of the path, is for the ready soul to gain liberation in the fifth plane. Now, is that a simple thing to do? Well, not really, because people come and go on the path also, because in the lower region you have Kalinaranjan, who fights diligently to keep people out of the fifth plane. And so, having said all that, it's not necessarily a simple process. So that's why we say, if one will practice his contemplations every day and dedicated to them, usually they can get to the liberation point. I'm saying usually because it isn't necessarily simple. But we do give the simplicity of the opportunity to do that. So again, there's no guarantee for anybody in terms of that, but the more that you diligently practice and read the books and discourses, and as a member, there's no charge for membership, there's no charge and there's no donations or contributions that are given to or any underlying costs or anything of that nature. So we're not here as pitchmen or salesmen to try to sell anything to anybody or get money from anybody. Our message is pure in terms of offering the opportunity to gain spiritual liberation in this lifetime or the next. In other words, one can gain mastery now or in another lifetime. And that's actually a guarantee if someone stays as a member to gain this liberation that we emphasize strongly, because we're trying to get above the karma and reincarnation realms of those lower regions that we talked about, the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes. The four lower planes are planes of karma and reincarnation and negative and positive energy. Now, when we talk about liberation in the fifth plane, we're talking about a plane that starts the non-negative worlds. It's called pure positive. It's not positive, but pure positive. I realize it's just another adjective it's an adverb, I guess, on the adjective positive. So the whole idea is that it's language, I realize that, but it's important language because when we talk about negative and positive of the lower worlds, we're talking about a polarity that swings like a pendulum. And people say, well, isn't positive karma a very good thing? It is, but we're in a manifest region when we are experiencing that. And then there's a predilection to be tempted by the dark side, which is the negative side. And so that negative power is in that swings in they show the karma ball in the east where you have the seed of the negative and the positive and the seed of the positive and the negative. And you can see that squiggly line in the middle of the karma ball. And people need to understand that it's like a pendulum that swings back and forth. When we talk about the Shrosha fifth dimension, we're talking about above those lower worlds. So when we look at the logo of the Shrosha, which is the stylized spelling of S-R-A-O-S-H-A, we can see the liberation point in the middle in that stylized O, which is really the fifth plane. Whereas the karma ball symbol doesn't show any liberation point. All it is explaining the lower worlds. So we don't use that logo. We use the Shrosha symbol as a logo because it actually shows liberation. That's kind of a new wrinkle this week, Leslie, in terms of comparison to the karma ball and the Shrosha symbol showing liberation. So that's very mm-hmm. important because that's the main purpose of Akuta, is to travel in Sahaji to the fifth plane. I mean, that's really the long and the short of it. That's the prime objective, is to gain that liberation in the fifth region. And having said all that, that's why we talk about it as the ancient science, because it's the original science, and we demonstrate it by teaching the contemplation exercise that you had gone through very formidably early on in terms of that discussion of the contemplation. And therefore, it's not a mandate necessarily, but as you had mentioned, it's a very important suggestion that people do this daily practice. Otherwise, the calendar engine is a very powerful force to try to keep people being reincarnated in the lower planes. And therefore, when one steps onto the path of Akuta, within a short period of time, they get control of these incarnations. And when people do step onto the path, they have my inner protection so that they don't have to be reincarnated if they should pass away from the lower planes. So the importance of membership is twofold in one aspect. One stops creating karma and they get their control back, plus the third part would be the opportunity to gain liberation in the fifth region. Now, the first part of that I was talking about, which is a really nice part, is that when people step onto this path, they make a commitment as a member, then their karma immediately starts to be resolved. In other words, they stop making karma and they resolve the karma in a short period of time. And that means that now they're leading a Dharma state, living a life of Dharma instead of karma. And we've talked, Leslie, many times on the show about we're the only path that really explains that, about this Dharma aspect. I've read every path you can think about. No people really resolve that like we do. It's very interesting, I find. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Yes, I do agree. I think that's an important point that you brought up, Srikadashi, that to live the karmaless life, to live a life of Dharma, is very, very important and very exciting, I think, because people that do believe in karma and reincarnation don't realize that that's a possibility. They just keep thinking that they're just going to come back and continue to come back, and you don't have to do that. You can step off that wheel of 84.
Well,
so
all of the teachings all the teachings also talk about the fact that you have a karma and you're trying to make positive karma, but we're trying to say you transcend all the karma and you're not dealing in the karma. Even the My teacher was trying to explain that, but then the path that became derivative after he had left this world didn't really understand the whole Dharma aspect. They had lost that thread of truth, whereas we picked that up because when the teaching isn't public, this principle still exists. So now Akita has the proper principles, and then I challenge people, go and find any other principles that parallel with Akita in terms of accuracy, precision, focus, and the ability to give liberation. So I think it's a really powerful statement that we have, the living Srosha Master of the time, holding the rod of power, and can give the exactitude in terms of the explanation of the power of Akita and the ability to give that experience to each individual. So again, I tell people, go find it somewhere else, and it's never been proven to me in the things that we explain and the structure that we have, because all the other teachings just don't have it any longer. It's very interesting. At one time, the teaching I was in was teaching what we do, but they changed it quite a bit a long time ago. So you see, so there's and then the irony is we always say, well, fascinating information that we have, but the interesting part is only 1% can understand it, whereas the other 99% are unconscious to the information that we give here. See, and that the 1% believe it's really fabulous stuff, just like I do too, and you yourself also, because we can experience this light and sound, and we emphasize that. In Act 2, we talk a lot about the sound current because that's the important part of who we are. We also have our own spiritual name in that sound current that we're able to gain after a time on the path as a member. The inner name that one has wasn't the name that the parents gave. You have a sound current name that you have, but that's later on and a little more complex. Going into it tonight is just the Srosha move me to say that. But that's one of the interesting things that people gain. And plus, at the same time, people have their own mantras that they chant, their spiritual words that they have that they chant. The one word we talked about, and you had mentioned and shown the practice of in the sound of what it sounds like, the hue, is called the universal mantra that anyone can use in terms of protection on the inner and the outer. The hue chant is very powerful. I mean, I still use the hue chant even today to resonate with the Srosha sometimes. It's very powerful resonation because the hue is that first syllable in the word human. At the same time, the word hue is another word for spirit or God. It has a reference to a high definition of the feeling of God realization in the hue. So that's when you do the hue, it tunes you into this inner sound current, which would be like a high electrical pitch or ringing in the ear that all people can hear when they attune to it. Now the ready soul will take up that sound current onto the path and then find its way and negotiate those lower worlds to the fifth dimension and higher. And that's why we're here. That's why we are public, for those ready souls that amount to about 1% of any azimuthal equidistant projection, which means a planet or plane area of people designated in a certain proximity, geometrical proximity. And therefore, we have 1% of the Earth's population, which is about 75 million people, that are ready souls in the world today. So when people come and go, we're not that greatly concerned, because we're the ones that leave are we're not necessarily ready souls. We need to go away and relearn some things and come back. But at the same time, the 75 million are there and step on the path daily in our teaching. So we're very happy to help out when we can when people have issues and blah, blah, blah. So we keep it simple in terms of, as we talked about earlier, the daily contemplation that we recommend to do for 30 minutes every day. 30 minutes is the minimum amount that we would wish people to do, because as you said, it gives you 24 hours of energy or protection or spiritual stamina, whatever you want to call it, in terms of spiritual harmonics to get through the daily grind of the lower worlds, because it can be difficult if one doesn't have balance or equilibrium or the energy to get through the day. So it does give, it's kind of like plugging into an electrical socket, because we know that the present technology, you have to plug in the electrical, the products that are pluggable, and then you plug it in and you get the energy to illuminate a lamp, per se. It's the same kind of analogy that we illuminate ourselves by plugging into the universe, as I say, for 30 minutes every single day. So it's not really much to ask for. I know there's some meditation paths talk about doing a six-hour meditation every day, which I always find, gee, where do these people find the time? But it's kind of nice that they do. Nevertheless, it's unnecessary to do it that much. We found that 30 minutes, the track record of, you know, hundreds of thousands of years, the Shroshi Masters, the 30 minutes is quite adequate to go through that 24-hour period. So anything extra is, they say, icing on the cake. So did you want to add anything or do some housekeeping or anything of that nature right now? What's our time like?
We've got about 2.5 minutes, and I appreciate you letting me mention some of the aspects of the teaching. You did say earlier that everything's free, that we don't charge for anything, and that's absolutely true. So we don't charge for membership. We don't charge for any of the books. We don't charge for seminars, classes, or any of that. And if you're interested in finding out more about the path, you can go to our website, akita.com, and you will see that there are several books that you can download at no cost to you. You can listen to audios of Sri Kadavji speaking. And
I don't mean to interrupt, but our general manager said, Leslie, that we should mention to email akita.ancientscienceofsahaji, because sometimes there's some problems with the website that we're working out right now. So I just want to throw that in there quickly. I apologize for not mentioning
Thank
that.
Thank you. Yes, that's good to mention. I appreciate that. Yeah, akita.ancientscienceofsahaji@gmail.com is good to email if you have any issues getting into the website right now, since we're working on it a little bit. Also, you're welcome to listen to any of the Blog Talk Radio shows, as there are hundreds of them in the archives, so you can listen to any of those that you would like. And if you think that you're ready to fill out an application, you can either email us at akita.ancientscienceofsahaji, or if you can get on the website, you can also download the application through there, through that. So we do appreciate that everyone who listens to us on a regular basis. We're very grateful that you're here with us every week. And for those who are just listening for the first time, we give our deep thanks for tuning in and hope you'll come back and listen to us again. And with that, I'd like to hand the adieu part of the show over to Sri Kadavji.
I am always with you. May the blessings be. Baraka Bashad.